Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
Scott McKay is away this week. Filling in for him is the politics economics reporter for WPRI.com, Ted Nisi. Hello there, Ted.
Hi, Ian. Thanks for having me.
And our guest this week is Pablo Rodriguez, physician, educator, talk show host, and a member of our board here at Rhode Island Public Radio. Thank you for joining us, Pablo.
Saludos, amigos.
We want to wish a Merry Christmas to all our listeners, and we're breaking from format this week by offering some of our Rhode Island political predictions for 2016. First, we're going to share some thoughts on important local stories that flew a little bit under the radar in 2015. I will start by observing how for many years we've heard about the importance of public education for Rhode Island's economy. Making progress on that front has really remained elusive. And when we hear talk about General Electric considering Rhode Island as a possible destination, that's great, but it probably has an adverse effect that Rhode Island is still struggling with public education when it comes to attracting other businesses. That's one factor that businesses certainly consider when they look for a new home. So let's go to Ted Nisi with his underreported story for 2015.
Just very briefly, I'd add on your point, Ian, that I've heard it from businesses on Executive Suite, our business show, too, that it can be an employee recruitment problem, the education system. So it's a great point by you. My underreported story was briefly very reported and then disappeared, which is the big pension settlement that was reached this year. I know most listeners do know the pension system was a big deal, but I think in some ways people have missed how significant it was to reach that deal the middle of this year, as we remember, with the General Assembly, the unions all coming together and locking in billions of dollars in savings and ending the legal fight over whether they would say the state can now bank on that moving forward. And I think we're already seeing some of the impact of the certainty that's provided with it being mentioned in the potential of GE, at least looking at Rhode Island to relocate. It's been mentioned that knowing the state, unlike Connecticut, has that certainty on pensions is a big deal. So I think getting that locked in was a big story, maybe even bigger than it seemed at the time.
Excellent point. Let's go to Maureen with her underreported story.
Well, mine is related to Ted's in the sense that the lesson of what happened at the state level and the lesson of what's happening in Providence, I think it's a harbinger of things to come. And I think underreported has been the very shaky fiscal situations in terms of pensions and other obligations that many of the cities in this state have. And how is the state going to bail out Providence? Is there the possibility of not bankruptcy, but some sort of receivership? And I think we're only beginning to come to terms with the implications of that, not only in terms of what's happening with the unions in the individual cities, but also how this, in fact, impacts what Ted was talking about in the sense that it affects the larger picture. And that's going to complicate things. We have a good rep now because we've settled it at the state level. But I do think coming down the road, we're going to see some real problems that are going to impact even the viability of Providence.
Pablo Rodriguez, what story was flying under the radar from your perspective in 2015?
I don't have a single story, but I have a mosaic of stories that paints a very difficult picture for Latinos and for our state. There's been a tremendous progress politically. Two mayors, president of the city council, secretary of state, Nelly Gorbea. Tremendous news for the Latino community. However, the political power is not translating into social and economic power. Multiple reports by Kids Count, by the Census Bureau, and by the Economic Progress Institute shows that Latino students in Rhode Island are the worst performing in the country. Latino unemployment at 21% at its peak was the worst in the country, and poverty rates for Latinos are the eighth worst in the country.
What would be key in helping to improve some of these indicators?
Education. I think that the biggest problem is that we have not been able to serve limited English-speaking students, and it is because of the students not receiving adequate education why we are having such poor performance.
And I think maybe we ought to add that, I mean, there's got to be a dense concentration in the sense that there's a lot of non-English-speaking students in dense areas. So it's a difficult task. That doesn't mean we have to recognize it and do it. But we really had a lot to make up for, given the disadvantages of all these recent immigrants. It does make it hard.
Well, let's turn to our crystal ball through a scanner darkly for Rhode Island in 2016. What do you see, Maureen?
Well, I see that Donald Trump, I'm going to national, Donald Trump will eventually fade. And of course, the obvious thing to say is then, of course, in the crystal ball, no big deal. One would expect that Hillary Clinton would be the president. I want to go out on a limb, though, in terms of the Republicans. And I don't know whether this is thoughtful or wishful thinking. We may have a brokered convention at the Republican level, and that would be so much fun for all of us, as well as a very unpredictable, could shape up very differently the political picture when we get to the general election.
Ted Nesi, what are your predictions for 2016?
You know, thinking on a Rhode Island level, I'll pivot back off what Maureen said. I think Providence's financial situation is going to continue to get more attention. In some ways, it has flown under the radar more than I expected. We've just seen the city ran a much larger deficit than they expected in the last fiscal year. The Auditor General took the rare step of sending a letter to city leaders saying, I need a plan from you on how to fix this. Moody's says the city's outlook is negative. And don't forget, they never improved the city's bond rating after all those steps Angel Taveras took. They just stopped slashing it. I think all those issues, when you have a newbie mayor and the economic development risk that this poses to Rhode Island of having the capital city, looking at how many years are we looking at of the city having being in this kind of financial predicament, having property taxes very high, et cetera, for decades. I mean, that's really, really a millstone around Rhode Island's neck. And so I think both the short term of how does Mayor Lorza get out of the problems he has right now, but then the longer term, you know, is there a way to put Providence on a significantly healthier footing is going to get a lot of attention next year.
Yeah, well, my prediction is kind of a flip side of that. I think we will see some more positive news on the economic development front in Rhode Island in 2016, particularly in the I-195 district. Things seem to be moving forward as far as the life science proposal from Baltimore-based Wexford Science and Technology. We know that Governor Raimondo, whether people support her or dislike her, she is seemingly much more hardworking than Governor Lincoln Chafee as far as trying to cultivate new economic development. I think that will bear some fruit in 2016. And I also expect a better season from the Boston Red Sox. Pablo Rodriguez.
Now that's wishful thinking.
Yeah, wishful thinking, that's for sure. So nationally, I think there's going to be a Latino in a ticket, whether Republican or Democrat, which would be very interesting. And here locally, Governor Gina Raimondo has made education reform and working on the funding formula the focus of 2016. That's going to put her in direct opposition with the General Assembly, possibly Speaker Mattiello, and charter schools are going to become a real, real point of contention in the General Assembly next year.
I wondered, I thought that there was some consensus among many of the legislators that we have to do something about the funding formula. No?
It's always the case. The devil is in the details. So what are we going to do? Are we going to give more money to urban schools to deal with limited English proficient students? That would be something that urban schools would want, but that suburban schools will just fight.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable from WPRI.com. Ted Nesi.
Thanks, Ian.
Pablo Rodriguez.
Feliz Navidad.
And Maureen.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our website at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.